this fellowship.
Öffne unsere Ohren.
Open our ears.
Dann sprechen durch den Heiligen Geist in deinem Wort.
To hear the speaking of your word in the Holy Spirit. We do not want to miss out. Enlighten our minds. And do give us heavenly and spiritual understanding that we can fully grasp your will. And also strengthen our inner man that we can obey you. Not only to know, but also to obey you. We pray that you bless us and show us what you are doing today, what you would like to do at the end of this age. Show us the goal so clearly. We don't want to miss it. Strengthen all the saints in these days. Separate us. Let us not be distracted by any other thing.
Oh
Lord, we want to run this race with endurance and to reach the goal. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen.
So, heute ist das zweite Jahr, dass wir jetzt in
So today it's the second year that we're here in Grünberg. I believe certainly the Lord has something prepared for us. It is very important that we go on with the Lord. The entire history shows us that many had a good start, but they did not finish the race. Especially in the last 500 years since the time of Reformation, many started well and then they stopped. They did not go further on with the Lord. I believe this is the sickness. This is the sickness of all fallen man. We are just like that. We give up very quickly, or else we feel so comfortable in our practices, in what we have attained, and we think to ourselves, it's good enough. I'd like to tell you, before the Lord comes back, you know, when the Lord is not back yet, there's still much to do. If we have already reached the goal, then the Lord will be back already. Because the book of Hebrews shows us that in a little while, He will to come, will come. But it still takes a little while. Why? Because we're not willing. Already, we're not ready yet. Or are you ready? Please raise your hand if you're ready. The book of Hebrews shows us to leave what we have learned before. Not necessarily because it is wrong, but it is the beginning word, the word from the beginning. And if we would not leave it, then we are not able to go on, right? If you finish your kindergarten with a straight A's, wonderful, hallelujah. Is that enough? But you like to stay there. It's a lot of fun. You can play. There's no pressure. It's good to remain in kindergarten forever. Is it good? I don't think that that's good. It was good. I was glad I was in the kindergarten, weren't you? But I don't want to stay there. But I wanted to be in the elementary school. But would you like to stay there? If you just finish your elementary school, do you think that Bosch would want to hire you? I don't think so. Or what do you think? We have to go on. We have to finish a secondary school. But that's still not good enough. It's still not good enough. Now you're studying in Heilbronn. Why? Can you read? Can you do math? It's good. You also learned history. And now you can read the newspaper. You can do a lot of things. Isn't that good enough? Why do you have to go on to further studies, to the technical college? That's not necessary. Or? Is it really so? That's a lot of work. It all depends on what kind of a goal you have. What's your goal? As a man, we have to have a goal. And if you do not know your goal as a Christian, then where would you go? Tell me. Where would you be when the Lord comes back? What is your goal? As a church, what do we want to attain? Why were we thrown out? And what do you want to do now? What is your goal as a church? What do we want to achieve corporately? What kind of a goal does the Lord have for us? Would you want to stop before you've reached the goal? You're already satisfied? You have a nice meetings and you have nice singing and there's a message on the Lord's Day. Is that good enough for you? Much more we need to ask. Is it enough for God? Is it good enough for God? What do you want to achieve? Is it good enough so that we can rule and reign with him in the coming age? Or? As Christians, not even just as individual Christians, but as a church, in the church in Zurich, what do you want to achieve? We have to ask. What do we want to achieve? I believe this book of Hebrews will show us what the goal is, what the end goal is, and how we can reach this goal. First of all, let us consider the work of the Lord while he was on this earth. He died on the cross, and on the cross he said, "It is done." It means that there's nothing left for him to do, right? But still, he said, "It is done." Oh, he finished. He got his diploma. He even got his A. And he did a good job. Was it good enough? What else? You're all saved. We would not go into eternal perdition and we have received the eternal life. That was not good enough. The book of Hebrews shows us that was just the beginning step. There's much more. And And that's why, brothers and sisters, for us it's not just a teaching, but after all this time, I hope that we have come to a place where we want to go on, that we would have a burden, not just to have the knowledge, but the Lord, I want to reach the place where the Lord reached. Did he resurrect? And he's living on this earth with us today? Why did the Lord say, no, I have to go, I have to go? Where did he go? Did he go to the Bahamas? He ascended. What did he do there? He has nothing more to do. There's much to do. The book of Hebrews shows us that this wonderful work, what the Lord did, was not for himself, but much more, it is for us. You know, if you're a professor at the university, just finished elementary school, how far can he bring you? At most, to the elementary school. That's the standard. But if we in the church only finished elementary school, then where would you lead the saints to?
You are the church there in Lagos.
You are the church in Lagos. What directions would you bring the church to?
What is your destination? And how are you
what
going to
is
get
your
there?
Destination? And how
do you
are going to get there?
GPS?
Do you have a heavenly GPS? We think it's so easy, so simple. Someone wrote, say, John so makes everything so difficult. No, no, it's not I, but it's the scriptures. I did not write the scriptures, brothers and sisters. Neither did I write the book of Hebrews. Who makes it difficult? And even though it may be difficult, but we have a wonderful heavenly professor that would lead us there. Amen. Is a university course easy? No. But thank God. I hope you have a good professor there. Not a kindergarten teacher that's giving the lectures. Do you think I'm joking here? We have to learn to follow the Lamb all the way to the goal. We don't want to do anything else, or nothing more. And the book of Hebrews shows us how our Lord is qualified to bring us to this wonderful goal. Which human being can do that? Who among us is capable to do such a thing? Have you been there? No. Oh, bring me there. Take me there. Please. I beg you, take me there. No, 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 you. I would tell you, I'm not there yet. How can I take you there? I can take you to California, and you would land in Disneyland. What do we want to reach? That's why this book of Hebrews is so important for us. It's not simple, but praise the Lord. We have such a wonderful God who's living and who speaks to us and who leads us, who encourages us and who warns us. They're warnings. very serious warnings in the book of Hebrews.
If
we don't pay attention to them and we think it's so simple, then the writer of Hebrews does not need to give us any warnings, right? And that's why you need to change your mind, turn in your mind. You know, we need the enlightening, the Lord's enlightenment, that so that we can grasp it. And we all have to be mature. May the Lord show us something. Although we have been having fellowship on the book of Hebrews for a whole year already, right? Yet we still need to have fellowship concerning this. And may the Lord speak further to us. And in these days, from meeting to meeting, may the Lord lead us to the goal, take us through a tour to show us how we can get there. First of all, I'd like to say that in this book, in this epistle to the Hebrews, it's not a matter of man speaking. It's very strange. In all the epistles, and also in all the Gospels, we know the name of the author, right? Who wrote the book of Hebrews? Really? Where is it written? Someone. Someone. But is this someone important? No. You know, brothers and sisters, you have to learn to hear God. And not to just to hear man who talks a lot. It's not important at all. People who say we should not follow man, there's a suspicion there that they want you to follow him. If I tell you, brother, don't follow any man, then what should you say? Then why should I hear? Listen to you right now. You are a man. So whatever you say to me doesn't count. Don't tell me what I should do. You know, I'll do what you say, not to hear man. Then the problem is solved. If I believe you, then I follow you. On the other hand, we all follow man. The new man, we follow the new man. The Lord is also a man, or is he not a man? He is a heavenly man, and we follow him. I don't follow an earthly man, but I follow a heavenly man who's sitting on the throne today. Be careful when you say, don't follow any man. The Lord would say to you, hey, wait, I am a man. Should people not follow me? It all depends. I love to follow this heavenly man. Well, don't you? Shouldn't we follow this wonderful man, Jesus Christ? Did he not say, follow me? Herein lies the exact problem.
irdischen, fleischlichen Menschen folgen.
We like to follow earthly, fleshly man. Remember what the Bible says. God, with God, there's no respect of persons.
Und ich schätze so sehr,
and I appreciate it very much
der Schreiber von Hebräer,
that the writer of the book of Hebrews
von sich selbst gar nichts.
Did not consider himself as anything.
Er möchte nicht, dass du weißt, er hat es geschrieben.
He does not want you to know that he wrote it or that God asked him to write it. It is not important for him. But for us here in the church, because we're so used to hear men, to hear people, to hear preachers, to hear elders, apostles, to hear these people, to hear the Pharisees, to hear the scribes, and in the end, we don't hear the Lord at all. Learn to hear God.
When
I have fellowship with you and you with me, then I have to. I want to hear you how the Spirit speaks. Or if you hear me or have fellowship with me, you also have to see whether it's the Spirit that's speaking. What are we?
Und daher steht es hier in diesem Buch.
And that's why it's not written in this book who wrote this epistle. It doesn't matter at all. As long as God speaks. And our God is a speaking God.
Nachdem Gott vorzeiten vielfach,
God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. He spoke through the prophets. Praise the Lord, Friesel. There's a place for you. God is a speaking God. He is a speaking God. It's very precious and also very important. As Christian, as children of God, if we never heard the speaking of the Father, then we're really poor, we're pathetic. If we don't have the inner desire or this longing, to say, Father, speak to me, speak to me. I want to hear your speaking. You are a speaking God. Oftentimes, I told the Lord, I said, this book is not good enough for me. It's good. It looks good. But I want to hear you. I want to hear the living God speak. Or is it sufficient just always to have a Bible in your hand? What do you appreciate more? This book here? Or the one who lives in you? You have to say both. But I appreciate much more the living Christ who dwells in me. The anointing. And this anointing is called the Anointed One. The anointing is the Lord Himself. And without Him, let me tell you, without Him, if He does not speak in Him, this book is just the dead letter. And how often have we experienced that? Today, the Lord dwells in us through the Spirit. In the past, before the Lord Jesus came to this earth, God spoke in various ways. Of course, he also spoke directly. He appeared to Abraham. And he also spoke directly to Noah and Enoch. Even walked with him. He walked together with God. It's so wonderful. And Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then after that, the prophets. God spoke through the prophets. That was wonderful and that was good. And that's why we have the Holy Scriptures. But then he went on to say, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us, how? By his Son. What is the difference? What is the difference here? Do you prefer just to hear a dead or a living message? Is that sufficient for you? Even though the message is so good, but it's just once a week and for 1 hour, is that enough for you? And what about the daily speaking of the Lord within you? And the most wonderful thing is that God does not just want to speak through the prophets. None of the prophets were perfect. None of them were perfect. They were good. The Lord used them to speak to his people in various ways. That's very good. But in the new covenant, God himself came in Jesus Christ. And like what John said, the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. It's a big difference. This speaking through Jesus Christ, through the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, is something very special. If you can't tell the difference, then I don't know what more I can say. And exactly, this is the problem. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, on one hand, you saw the scribes. They also spoke. They also spoke the word of God, didn't they? The high priest, the Pharisees. Do you think the elders did not speak? They all spoke. But there's a difference between their speaking and the speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the difference? He himself is the essence or the substance of the Word. He did not just speak, but through his speaking, something comes into you. His substance, his being comes into you. That's why he says, my words are what? Spirit and life. There's spirit in his word. There's life. His substance was in the word. It's a big difference. We can speak. We can only speak. Okay, and it depends on how I speak. Philip might say, oh, amen. What does amen say? Oh, amen means I agree. But nothing happens. I spoke correctly. And he heard correctly. He agreed with it. And then he went home and nothing happens. Of course, Then if I speak incorrectly, would you still agree with it? Or it depends. It all depends. But whether it's right or wrong, nothing else happens. It's still dead. Why do I say it this evening? To encourage us from now on, learn to say, Lord, speak to me. I need your speaking. Whether it's in the Word, when I read the Word, let me have a reaction. Let me have reaction within me. Let me hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit. And in order to have that, you need to know that you need to have an open heart, not a hardened heart. So, dear brothers and sisters, the book of Hebrews encourages us in the time of the new covenant to hear the Son. Because the Lord is the prophet. He's not only the apostle, but an apostle also has to be a prophet. In Deuteronomy 5:18, what did Moses say? God will send a prophet, just as I. He is the word himself. And hear him. Moses already said. So that's why he said, Moses spoke concerning him. If you do not hear him, of course you cannot hear the Son either. Oh Lord, you have to hear him. That's why the Father in heaven also declared on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was Moses and Elijah, and there was Jesus. Whom should you hear? Yes, you hear Moses a little. Elijah, okay. Are they the same? But what did the Father say? Hear him. It's my beloved Son. Hear him. But we do the opposite. I listen to you, I listen to him, I listen so much. And in the end, I gather so much junk. And I hear man speaking, and I have no ear to hear, or no heart to hear what the Lord says. Don't think that it won't happen like this. We've gone through many experiences. In the end, I saw the church only hears man and not God. And although if man speaking is contrary to God's word, they still hear man because there are so many concepts that have gotten into our heads. I hope the Lord will bring us back in this time of the new covenant that we would hear him. Because today, God, in the last days, in the time of the new covenant, this will be the last age. That God would speak in and through the Son in us. To speak from your heart, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Speak to me. Don't speak to me in Greek and not in Chinese, but speak to me in German or even in the Schwabian dialect so that I can understand you. I did do this with God. This is how I dealt with God. It looks like a joke, but I told the Lord, either speak to me in English or in Chinese to me so that I can understand. Don't speak to me in the tongue of the angels. I want to tell him to speak so that I can understand. I'm too dumb to understand. I want to hear him. If God is living, if our Lord is not only God, but that he became the incarnated Word, then I must be able to hear him, right? He's not a dumb God that does not speak. He's a speaking God.
And
why can I not hear? It's because I'm deaf. If I'm deaf, then Lord, heal my deafness.
It is
not okay with me if I cannot hear him. I'll tell him, Lord, heal me. And make it so that I can hear you. How important it is for us to have an ear to hear. It's not just hearing some outward sounds. When the Lord speaks today, he speaks through the Holy Spirit. And that's why we read in the book of Hebrews today, if we hear his voice, his voice, the voice is living. The book has no voice, just the flipping of pages. But I cannot understand that sound. It means nothing to me. But when I read the Holy Scriptures, I want to hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit. And I also want to learn to hear him today. We hear so many things every day. Why don't we hear his voice? And if we no longer hear his voice, it's no wonder that we don't know what he wants. And we don't know what we're doing today. And we have such an attitude, then we need for him to deal with our hearts. There's a reason why we do not hear his voice anymore. Because the heart got hardened. We use this word, stubbornness. So stubborn. Ephesians says not to walk as the heathen in the vanity of their mind. Why did Paul say that in Ephesians chapter 4? Because if I live in such a vain way on this earth, I am busy with so many other things, then my mind will be vain. And the vanity will fill my mind. The futility of the mind. And then Paul says, having their understanding darkened. If there's no light here and you've tried to read the Bible here, then what would you be reading? Nothing. And if your understanding is darkened, what happens? Then there's a hardness of heart. Then the heart also becomes hardened. It all goes together, step by step. And if the heart is hardened, then their past feeling. And being past feeling, this step by step. First is the futility of the mind, the understanding is darkened, and there's a blindness of the heart, and they become past feeling. This is what the Dr. Paul said to us, but we do not hear that. And we've lost all feeling, and then we are estranged from the life of God. Then you might still be talking about life, life, life. But there's no life. So you see that we're alienated from the life of God. You hear them say that you don't have to be holy to read the Bible. But if you want to hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit, you want to hear the speaking of the living God in Jesus Christ, then there are the prerequisites. You need a healthy new heart that is pure. Otherwise, you cannot hear. And you believe, oh, I cannot hear anything. Oh, please, give me some counseling. In the end, you get unrat. You get bad counseling. Our God speaks. If we do not hear, in the end, you would not know where you would end up. May the Lord save us and also heal us to give us an obedient heart.
Amen. O Herr,
O Lord,
nachdem Gott vorzeigend vielfach und auf vielerlei Weise zu den Vätern geredet hat in den Propheten, durch den Propheten.
God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. That means God loves to speak to us. He is the living God. He loves to speak. But if we're fallen, then his speaking becomes rare, just like at the time of Elias. Eli. At the time of Eli. The two sons who were fallen and corrupt.
Yes.
Then at that time God could no longer speak. Why would he speak? You know, if we no longer hear, he would not speak to us anymore either. He has in these last days spoken to us in his Son, or through his Son. This is music in our ears. It's so wonderful to hear his speaking. You know, brothers, if you hear his speaking, then it doesn't matter to you what man may say. But if you cannot hear his voice, the speaking of so many people becomes so important to you. You hear on the right and on the left, and yet you do not hear his speaking. But if you are a person who hears his speaking, then surely it doesn't matter to you what people may say. It doesn't matter to you. When Jesus was on this earth, as a man, he always heard what the Father said, and he always looked to the Father. He would never say anything what the Father had not said. That's why he could say, my words are not from me, but they're from the Father. He even said, it's the Father who speaks in me. He was so one with the Father.
And the
entire Word of God became flesh in this person. There's substance and there's a reality. For us, it's just an interpretation. It's an interpretation of how we understand it. Whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter to me. Because we do not have an ear to hear God. May the Lord be gracious to us to be one who hears, to be a hearer. And after that, what is the most important thing is that we would be obedient, learn obedience. It's not enough just to hear, to have an ear to hear. That's why I love the word obedience. First, you have to hear, and then you can obey. If someone does not hear, but if he heard as if he had not heard, then he cannot obey either. So we have to learn obedience. And here we see what the book of Hebrews wrote about our Lord. Why he was made perfect, because he learned obedience. Obedient to whom? To man? No, obedience to the Father. He was so absolute for the Father that he was obedient unto death on the cross. Praise the Lord. If we just have this point, work in our hearts, that's good enough. If we do not have an ear to hear, then we can close up the book of Hebrews or go somewhere else in these days. We have to tell the Father, Father, Lord, we came here to hear your voice. Please, give me an ear to hear you. Otherwise, it's meaningless to be here. And may the Lord speak through the Holy Spirit. Everything that he wants to say to us, pray. All the time, speak to him and let him speak to you. I always encourage you that your prayer to God is not just a one-way street. And our prayer to him is so long, and we never give him an opportunity to answer. And then we say, amen, that's it. That's the end. That's why it's better not to say amen, but just wait and listen. Now, Lord, it's your turn to speak. Now I'd like to hear you. Have I not told you this very often, for many years? He should also speak to us. Not just that we speak to him, but he should speak to us. And who speaks to whom more? That's why learn to speak to him, to bring everything to him, and also hear him, what he has to say. That we all, especially in the house of the Lord, especially at the end of this age, we want to know the living God, then it's not only through reading of the Bible. It's good and necessary, and I appreciate and I treasure the word. But the word without the inner speaking is without life. And in these days, spend time to speak to the Lord. And let him speak to us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So, wir haben eine lange Reise gemacht.
So, we had a long trip. Yeah, so it's better that we give you more time to rest this evening. Praise the Lord. Let's have a few short prayers. Amen.